more money than God anyway.
Former owner of Hendrick Investments.
Yeah. I guess we're missing. Oh, there's one Rutledge.
Doing stuff.
Okay, Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 24. That which is that which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. There's a whole chapter in Job about this idea of that which is far off and exceeding deep. Who can find it out? And it's Job 28. So let's go there.
Job before Psalms?
Yes. Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of stone, out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot, or it means even irrigated places dry up. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture, actually it should be the eagle, and which the eagle's eye hath not seen. The lion whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountain by the roots. He cutteth off the rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, What an incredible wisdom is hid from the eyes of all living. This is the great chasm. I can't get over that. You need to shave or something.
Distracting you.
It is weird.
What does Judy think of it?
It was her idea.
I know she regretted it.
I only do what my wife tells me to do. So I don't shame her.
I think she knows the mistake she made.
You think so?
I think so. She looked chastened last night.
Yeah. Well, she said publicly she regretted it.
Well, obviously there's been a lack of wisdom.
That's a segue.
The gulf, you remember when the beggar died, the one that had the dogs were licking his sores, and he went to the bosom of Abraham and he asked that if what was it?
The
rich man just begged for a drop of water or for something. And then the poor man said, I want to go back and tell people. It doesn't work. You can't tell anybody. Wisdom can't be found in the land of the living. That's why the essence of the mystery of the gospel is that you must comprehend with everything in you that you are dead. Because the whole world, all on the earth, lieth in deception. There are no exceptions. Yeah, I wish there were. That which is highly esteemed among men can't be wisdom. It's an abomination. If you try to please men, you can't serve God. And there's no person alive that can understand suffering and its purpose. Because it always has a predicate of, well, I went through this so I could get that. Or this happened over here so that this thing over here would happen. And as long as you tie it, anything that I've said, even if you tie it to something, then it's by definition can't be wisdom. Wisdom cannot be found in the land of the living. This is pretty. Remember the earlier one, and we studied that. If you want to find out something that's truly valuable, go to the house of mourners.
Talks about wisdom is, the price is greater than rubies, which you hear all the time. But that's not the meaning hey, that's a great thing, everybody needs to go out and get a bunch of wisdom.
No, the price.
Because it's it's so rare and valuable that you can't get any. It's not available.
But the price for wisdom really is God's death, the sacrifice of Christ. That's wisdom. But you can't share that wisdom in the land of the living. How many times a day do you make a value judgment based on no wisdom? Back to verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. To make the weight for the winds, he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, or the evil one, is understanding. Oh no, I'm going to sit here and read the Bible and understand. No, you're not. I'm going to get polio and understand. No, you're not. Even that, even those kinds of statements, you're thinking in terms of cause and effect. Greatest enemy of cause and effect. The greatest enemy of mercy, I mean, is cause and effect. Can we possibly come for a moment to understand the totality of this gift of God? That it's without any merit, it's without any cause or effect, it's without any hereto, this is what. It's a gift of God. But we can't even understand that because we automatically try to use it for something. Let's go to 1 Timothy.
We think how the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Until you hear something like this, can't
even go to the next step. Because
wisdom, you think, is
valuable. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is instructions to Timothy. This is just before. This is, he's getting close to his death. Verse 13, chapter 6, verse 3. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. And power everlasting. Amen. Has it dawned on you? The scriptures are clear. Only he which came from eternity can return to eternity. He alone hath immortality. We are mortal. We cannot ascend to immortality. We didn't come from eternity. We were created. He is the only begotten Son. All of our thought processes become nothing. Romans 11.
I'm sorry, which one?
Romans chapter 11. Verse 32. For God hath concluded, or it really means that he's talking about all men. Remember that all men should be guilty before God. That's the purpose of the law. And that your mouth would be shut up. But this word concluded here doesn't mean just that it's a logical conclusion. It's the fact that it means that we are shut up into a place for which there is no escape. All men are shut up into this place. That there's a great gulf, there's a steel door 100 million miles thick that cannot be, we can't get through it. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So what does that mean? We hear the word mercy, and immediately we think and try to figure out a way to get it, or to get more of it, because we are so totally corrupt. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, you can read the historical references of a jillion people who we, over the years, we've learned to admire them because of their incredible faith. And they'll all tell you that the book of Romans, or many of them will tell you that the book of Romans was their beginning of understanding. And this, what I just read, along with the next verse, is this place of it's this line of departure from darkness to light. And he just said, who has known the mind of the Lord? So how can you sit and figure out and try to come to conclusions about things and what and do? Because of him and to him and for him and about him and of him and are all things. All things consist by him. He was before all things. He created all things. All things were for his purpose. And so we define then, we take and mold that into our how we can use it. But he said, because of what he's just said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it's peristema. It means a constant, never-ending yieldedness of yourself as a living sacrifice. Taking no thought of or about or for you or yours in any kind of dimension. I beseech you, he's begging on his knees, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, and it's not a one-time presentation, it's a never-ending, a constant, a peristiami, a living sacrifice. There's only one place of sacrifice, it was the altar. There's only been one altar. And that altar is always right in front of you because that altar is now in eternity. Now, the prayer is, bind me tightly to the horns of the altar. Let nothing, let no stray thought, let no stray emotion, let no feeling or brilliant idea pull me from the altar. I present myself a living sacrifice. Holy, which is acceptable, which is your reasonable. It's the highest that reason can take you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test for the purposes of approving, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only good and acceptable and perfect will of God is Jesus Christ. It's not something you do, or something you have done that's going to keep you from doing, or not something you're going to not do. It's always now. Let's go a couple verses, a couple pages to the left. Romans 8. He said in 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. Not to help, meaning to that he's going to fix it. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. They can't be spoken. There's no words for them. And this isn't some magic little mantra that the charismaniacs talk about. It's the fact that the there's nothing in our language, in anybody's languages, that have been invented. It's like trying to teach a pissant to talk. That's what? Huh?
It doesn't work.
Well, that's what and that's what we are in the sight of God. We are, we just went through all that stuff. We're the best we can be is a brute beast. It's either that or we present ourselves a living sacrifice. And the mystery is always Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is the only life, not what I do or don't do. Anyway, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this we know something. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this isn't something that you can conceive of or comprehend. If you are in that kingdom, then by definition, everything is working together for good. All things happen exactly as they should. By one offering, you've been perfected forever into the whole, everything. There's no issue. You can't have an issue. You can't be dealing with anything. You only have one issue. Are you on the mercy seat or the judgment seat? The mercy seat is in the heavens. It's in eternity. It can't. It's never about you.
It's not a healthy relationship where you have equal.
No. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purposes. Now listen, everything that we're about to read is in the past tense. This is what it's got to penetrate.
You know, but many, many years ago, I knew a person who used to smoke a lot of marijuana. And one of his favorite games when doing that was to just pick up like a dictionary and find one word. And that word would lead you to these thoughts that would be like transcendent, tie all thoughts together, solve all the problems of the universe. That verse that we just read is all you need to know. If you know that all things work together for good, that's all you need to know.
But don't try to apply your definition of good to it.
That's all you need to know.
All right. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. So the predestination thing is already finished. It's done. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. You don't have to worry about it. It's not your business. And whom He called, them He also justified. That means, you remember, just as Christ says, He was manifest in the flesh, but He was justified in the Spirit. Christ cannot be justified in the flesh. That's what modern religion is trying to do. They're trying to justify Him in the flesh, to make Him useful. You cannot be useful to the kingdom of the world. I mean, there may be something that goes on by which you're useful, but it's not. That's never in your consciousness. Whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Glorified. Glorified has one meaning. That's what happens on the Mount of Transfiguration, when time and space have lost their... It means that's already happened. If you can only see it, you don't pay any attention to what these little pissants are doing. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And if there isn't a conditional if, it's if is ice in view of the fact that God is for us, who can be against us? And He's only for us because we are, it's because of what we contain. Who we contain. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things that are necessary? I can honestly tell you that from the day that I've become a believer, I have gotten everything that was necessary. And so, and each one of you can say the same thing. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, even who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or wills, or family, or anything. Nothing. But if you take and begin to deal with it in your mind, then you, who, if you don't feel as close to God as you used to, who moved? Do you understand that? as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's why we are presenting ourselves all the day long a living sacrifice. That's the predicate. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And where is the love of God? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You hear these... Wisdom cannot be found among the living. And you leave wisdom the minute you leave the mercy seat. You leave the kingdom of light as soon as you have something you're dealing with. Anybody understand?
Like a month ago when we studied, better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth.
Anybody have any comments?
Just think of this sign that would say something like, you know, rule number one, all things work together for good. Rule number two, if things aren't good, see rule number one.
John?
James Brown had three rules for his band players. Watch James. Watch James. And watch James.
Right. There it is.
All righty. Take it, big guy.